Hi there, welcome back to Lesson 2 for Ritual Practice, Your Mark with Magic. Lesson 2 is all about naming your home and claim the water. So what is Carmel Baird talking about now? Well, let's get started with why it's important to name your home. I just learned this and I don't know why it never dawned on me before. Listen, we all have named a vehicle. I don't know how it happens or where it happens, if we're just like driving down the road and all of a sudden she becomes a Betsy or he becomes a Fred, whatever it is. We feel energy from the things that we love. And the things that we love seem to connect to us in this perfectly energetic, amazing way. So whether it's our vehicle or whether it's, you know, good old Fred, the rake that I, you know, feel so bonded with, that I connect with because it was my grandfather's and his name was Fred, or whatever it is, we start connecting with the energy of things that we love. And probably you have named a lot of objects, things, vehicles, I don't know, if you're someone who drives horses, you know, my son drives our horses and he's got a name for his buggies. Like, I think it's just this thing that happens to us when we fall so deeply in love with something that we affectionately want to show it affection. And that's why we give our lovers and our good friends nicknames. And sometimes they're even like inside jokes that reveal intimacy and a deeper understanding about who they are. So, you know, my name is Carmel, but my husband has always called me Carm. He has never called me Carmel. And I think that was like super weird for my family because I was always Carmel. Like, no one ever shortened my name before. So, you know, it seemed weird to them when they first heard it. But then interestingly enough, my family kind of merged into calling me Carm as well. And when I was a little girl, my name was Lollipop. So here's the thing. How many of you, and this took me a moment to think of, this took me a moment to kind of, you know, process, but how many of you have named your home? I want you to think about your home. Have you ever given your home a name? So when I was asked this question, I was like, yeah, of course, like my ranch's name is Riverling Ranch. I named my home. And then that opened me up to a story. So yes, I named my home. We, as in Dave and I, named our home, but that wasn't the first name that our ranch had. In fact, my husband was the first person to name the ranch, and it was about a year and a half after we had moved on to the property. We were actually walking down the path towards the house from the barn, and my husband said, "I want to call our property Vista del Rio Ranch." And I was like, "What does that mean?" Vista del Rio Ranch. Like, what is that? He said, "Well, it means ranch on the river." And I was like, oh, okay. And Dave has always loved, you know, Mexico and Spanish, and, you know, it's his favorite food and one of his favorite places. And he's just very much, you know, into that lifestyle and language. And for me, not so much. So anyway, I was like, yeah, okay, Vista del Rio Ranch sounds cool. But like, there's no like casa houses and like big sombreros and things like that. I just was like, it didn't really fit. And at the time, my house was all painted in blue and white, like this super shabby chic. Everything was like butterflies and, you know, like this very like elegant decor on the inside of the home. And I was like, Vista del Rio Ranch, like, does this mean I have to go buy like pottery and everything, like be, you know, very de casa, if you will? Anyway, it stayed for a little while and enough time that, you know, we had created an email, Vista del Rio Ranch, and we're kind of going to go down that road. And then at some point, and I can't tell you if I remember quite when, the name left from being Vista del Rio Ranch, and instead it turned into River Lane Ranch. And I think this is around the time that we started buying gypsies and knowing and understanding that we were going to be breeding horses. And River Lane Ranch had a lot to do with the lane that we love so much, being on the river. But River Lane Ranch is, yes, about the property, but it was really about the energy of our family. We're very connected to bodies of water, whether those be rivers, whether those be oceans, whether those be lakes. Everyone kind of has a different affinity with different bodies of water, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But the moment that we name the home it became us, if you will. It's almost like it just sunk into our souls, or we sunk into the soul of the farm and the ranch. It was this deep bonded energy. And then one day when we went to Google and we put in River Lane Ranch and our farm came up, we were like over the moon about that. I mean, it just meant something that the ranch name was like, that's what this property was called. Like, this was River Lane Ranch, and we had created that and we had named that. There was something just so amazing. So when someone said to me like, hey, does your home have a name? I was like, yeah, it's River Lane Ranch. They're like, oh, that's so cool. And so what were the names of your other homes? And I took a moment and I thought about it, and I was like, okay, well, Atchison was the home that we lived with in Atchison. We called it the Atchison House. And then I could think of all the memories that had happened in the Atchison House. And then I thought about Happy Valley Road. And Happy Valley Road was a farm that I lived on as a young girl. And it was on Happy Valley Road. And it was this amazing memory. We had tennis courts and racehorses, and it just embodies everything that I remember and felt amazing. And then there was another home that I lived in as a little girl, and it was called the Ski Hill Home because it backed right onto Rabbit Hill Ski Hill. And again, I could think of all the memories that came up there that were so positive. But there were a lot of homes that never actually had a name. And those homes tended to be the homes that I lived in with my first husband. And those homes tended to be the homes that I couldn't or didn't want to remember them for whatever reason. And the energy there seemed different or off or a difficult time in my life, something that I never really connected to that home. I didn't love living there. I didn't love the energy there. I didn't love the space there. Do I think it starts with the home or it starts with the name? Maybe it's a little bit of both, but I think that our homes contain this magnetic energy. Listen, we live within these walls. This is where you're spending the most time. This is the capsule that keeps you safe while you're sleeping. This is the radiant energy of abundance that draws in money into your life financially, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Your home needs a name. Your home has to have a name. And it shouldn't be 222, like the 222 name. And it shouldn't be, you know, the name of your street. It could be the Purple House. It could be, you know, whatever feels right for you. But it should be the energy of a name that you want to go to. The Castle House, the Roundabout Circle House, the Oak Tree House, the Blue House, you know, the something mansion, whatever feels and resonates with you, that's what the name of your home should be. And that's what you should really want to embody into that space. Will that name follow you? Will that name stay connected to you or to other members of the family? You know, some names and homes just have one name, like, you know, Sunny Slope. That's where I lived. It was in the Sunny Slope home when I was a little girl. Some can have literal names, like it can be a name like Bob, you know, Bob's House or the Bob House. You can have a name that has something to do with the color, with the height of it, with the postal code, whatever it is. Just don't make it something that's like a slap-on name. Make it something that you resonate with and that the energy will flow. Because that's where the magic lies. That's where we really tune into the energy of our home. So that's definitely your homework, is to name your home. And once you have a name for your home, the next step I want you to do is I want you to embrace your home. And this is going to be a big one for some of you. You walk into homes and all the walls are beige or gray, because that was a trend for a while, or taupe. And they're just taupe. And if you ask someone, you're like, oh, like, are you going to do anything? Like, are you happy with it? Like, yeah, I talk to people and they will not make changes in their homes because of the resale value of your home. If you are living in a home that you're worried about what the resale value is going to be, you need to think about moving, because you need to be in a home that maybe it's like, okay, we've got, you know, one child now. We know we want to upgrade to a 4-bedroom or a 5-bedroom as we continue to have children, but you have to embody, embrace the home. And what is paint? Paint is paint. What is canvases on the wall? What are floors? You have to feel good about the home that you're living in. You have to want to be in that space. I have renovated and changed my home so many times I have lost count. I have gone from blue and white, shabby chic, to deep greens and burgundies and this like super ranchy vibe, to now into back into white, into this clean, clear, open farm, you know, cottage farmhouse space. I go where my energy flows, and by moving the energy in my home, that helps me to create abundance. It doesn't ever mean that I may not one day decide to move or one day decide to, you know, sell my home. That's not what you're saying. But if at that point you decided to, you could paint, or you could hire someone to paint because you're so abundant right now that you're going to be selling a home. Live in a space that vibes with you, that encompasses you, and that makes you feel vibrant and alive when you walk into it. If you see something in a magazine, you're like, oh my God, I would die to live in that. Create it in your living room, in your bedrooms, make it flow from room to room, and let the energy be something that lifts you up to bring happiness, to bring abundance, to bring resources, to bring health, to bring healing, to bring joy. When you're living in joy, you're surrounded by it. And maybe one day you may want a bigger yard or more bedrooms. And at that day, you can do what everybody does. It's called staging. Stage your home then. But spend 365 days if you're not moving for 5 years or 10 years or ever. You may not be moving ever. I hope to never move. I love my home, but I still may change it. My husband gets frustrated with me. He's like, when will you be done? I'll never be done, because the energy has to flow with me, with the changes I feel, with the happiness, with the joy, with the sadness. As I learn and develop who I am, my likes and my dislikes move. As I claim into one color, I may move away from that color and enjoy something different. It just change in our homes and our environments is about us and how we move through life. If we're stuck and we're stagnant, our space and our home will be stuck and stagnant with us. And do these things cost money? Yes, they do. But sometimes you have to spend a little bit to create a little bit more. And that's what this is all about. Living in a vibrational energy that every day makes you feel good about you are, who you are, where you live, and everything that makes you happy. I hope that makes sense. I want to talk about the water and claiming your water. Something else is water is so important, and we really tend to have connections to different bodies of water. So, you know, obviously out there, there's oceans, there's lakes, there's rivers, there's lagoons, there's bays, and there's bayous. And the more detail you get, the more longer that list can become. Don't be surprised when you hear someone say, you know what, I'm a river person. Like, I love being on the rivers. Or you might hear someone say, I'm an ocean person. I love being on the ocean. I love, you know, the waves, and I love listening to the waves at night. It puts me to sleep. It's almost like hypnotic, and it relaxes you. And then you have people who are like, I am lake people. We have friends of ours. They are 100% lake people. And even though, you know, they could go anywhere in the world that they wanted to, they will go from a lake in Canada where they have their home on to a lake in America because they are lake people. And that's the kind of people that they are. And that's what resonates with them. So when you have a person who connects with different types of bodies of water, it can actually tell you a lot about that person. So a lot of ocean people, they are people who love to move and flow with life. They're people who work tirelessly often. They're people who really put their all into everything that they do. But ocean people find comfort in going and returning, like going away and then coming home. They need a home base. Their home is super important to them. And so they like to go and come back. Whereas river people, they're always looking forward and they're always going and they're always flowing and they're always seeking. So river people are just like crashing through life and like, you know what? If I come back, great. If I don't, keep on moving forward. And that's the difference between them. So sometimes when you have a river person and an ocean person together in a relationship, it's really good because the ocean person will keep that river person a little bit more grounded. And so then you have lake people. Lake people, they are the type of people who can deal with the unknown and with the depth of the unknown. They have clearly defined boundaries. They'll bring a lot of fun to things, but they are okay with what lurks in the depths, and they're not afraid to face things in their life. You think about like the Loch Ness, you know, monster that's in the lake, or the Ogopogo that are in the lakes. They don't fear things. They're fearless people who are like, nah, it's okay, I got this. And then, you know, you have people who live on a bayou, and bayous are also known as being very like swampy, but also like you have a lot of moss hanging, and you have a lot of people that are on the bayou, and they're also the type of people that take risks, and they're people that are not afraid to, you know, go with the flow if something, you know, jumps out at them. And they can be gamblers. They can be people who are like, oh, let's just throw caution to the wind. And then I think we should also talk about pool people, because we all have some of those friends. I have a friend who's like, they go to the ocean. She's like, I'm not going in the ocean. I'm just looking at the ocean while I swim in the pool. And that feels weird to me. I don't know. I grew up on an ocean. So I'm like seaweed and salt and sand and all that stuff I love. But the pool people, they don't want to touch that stuff. And so their life is very clean, very controlled, very organized. They're the best party planners. They're great collaborators, and nothing is wild or outlandish in their life. They're like, yep, everything is like super, super predictable. But you know, our bodies are made up of at least 55% of water. So if you stop and think about it, water excites the H2O in us because we're made so much of water. So, you know, if you think about 55% is mostly ocean. You know, we were mostly ocean at one point, or a river running through you or through a creek. Liquid in your body is what keeps us balanced. It's what keeps us grounded. It's what keeps us real. It's what keeps us connected. And it's what keeps us connected to Mother Nature. So figure out what your water is. Claim that. You may even have, like, I even have a spot or a beach that I claim as my own on the ocean. And know that about yourself. And then know what other people's, you know, likes and dislikes are, and why that's important to them, and why they connect with that. So I hope that makes sense. Name your home and claim your water. Those are two really impactful, powerful things that you can do in your life to make energetic shifts and changes easily. And by claiming the water, you can also be giving other people readings, because the moment someone tells you, I love this lake, you can pretty much predict what kind of person they are. I hope that makes sense and you enjoyed this lesson. I look forward to connecting with you soon.